back at the Le Show Dome, ladies and gentlemen. The very original Le Show Dome, whence this program originates most of the time. In the heart of Southern California. Really at the edge. If Southern California had a heart, anyway. But this is the edge. This is, as you know, Santa Monica, California. We tell you every week at the end of the broadcast, it's well known. It's internationally known as the home of the homeless. Well, something's happening in Santa Monica this week. The city council, you can only celebrate Earth Day for so many days. So after today, there'll be probably some Earth Day recovery parties tomorrow. And then Tuesday, the city council of the city of Santa Monica takes up an ordinance that would prohibit sleeping in cars on public streets. And I know that to a lot of you who've grown up with the concept that Santa Monica is the home of the homeless, this may strike you as a little strange, but only until you stop to think about it. You see, if you've got a car, you're not really homeless. You're basically taking away the sympathy of from people who don't have cars. So sleeping in if you want to sleep on the street, get out there where we can see you and where you really... You can't hide your waste product. You know what I'm saying? That, I think, I'm just guessing, but I believe I'm pretty in tune with the zeitgeist around here, and I think that's the point. You know, if you want to be homeless, be carless, too. Go all the way. Or be Carlos, too. Anyway, that's my guess, but we'll monitor that debate for you, ladies and gentlemen, bring you full details, of course, as soon as it's warranted. Ladies and gentlemen, the National Basketball Association playoffs have just started. And I've been basically a partisan of basketball and pro basketball for a long time. And it gets harder as the years go by and as the quality of play plateaus, excuse me. If only it would tableau. It plateaus. See what happens when I mispronounced fee a couple of weeks ago, F-I-L-S, and my adeptitude in French is just plummeting ever since. Anyway, the quality of play has plateaued, don't you know? But, you know, it used to be possible at least to maintain that NBA owners were not quite as dumb as baseball owners. And then, of course, they put a team in Vancouver. And then it was at least possible to say that NBA players, many of whom graduated from college, air quotes, might be a might have a little more on the ball than baseball players or football players. Hey, by the way, how'd you do with that bet on the XFL championship game? Who won? But now we have, as I say, the NBA playoffs beginning, and here's how they kick off. Charlie Ward. Now, you see, in the world of the NBA, there are two kinds of players. They're what Michael Jordan calls the knuckleheads, the guys who've got drug problems and can't keep their weight down. And then they're, you know, the straight arrows. And so as more and more players getting publicity have tended to be the knuckleheads, the NBA officials would point with pride to the straight arrows, the guys like Charlie Ward on the New York Knicks, who... You know, not only was not a drug user or not a party kind of guy, he was the guy who'd be reading the Bible in the locker room before games and leading the team in an on-court prayer before and after every game. You know, that's the kind of, there's your role model right there. So who shows up in the New York Times Magazine saying, "The Jews killed my Lord," but Charlie Ward? And by the way, he plays in a little city called New York. You know, not even dealing with the merits of the case that he makes. Just talking about basic smart, street smarts like they like to talk about in New York. He's on a New York team. They like to sell tickets. And that's what he says. So if I'm New York, I'm trading for a guy with a drug habit who weighs 300 pounds. Ladies and gentlemen, hello. Welcome to the show. Sean Kemp, get your ass to the apple.
Ow! Mama, come here quick and bring that licking stick. Mama, come here quick and bring that licking stick. Mama, come here quick and bring me that licking stick. Horns, mama, come here quick and bring me that licking stick. Mama, come here quick and bring me that licking stick. People standing, standing in a trance. Sister out in the backyard doing an outside dance. I'm telling me the other day she didn't want to be a drag. What she's doing, I think she's got a brand new bag. Mama, come here quick and bring me that licking stick. Mama, come here quick and bring that licking stick. Now look at him, Junior, don't kill me with his lazy strokes. When he takes his feet right off the ground, doing the mashed potatoes, and then he begins to slide. Call himself doing the James Brown. Sister says the dance you're doing is the latest thing. People now begin to talk. She jumped back in that sober stride. Baby, now she's doing the camel walk. Mama, come here quick and bring me that licking stick. Whoa. Mama, come here quick, get it, and bring that licking stick. Mama, come here quick and give me that licking stick. Sister, get out in there with your bad self. One more time. Mama, come here quick and bring that licking stick. Missy, oh, all right, bring your licking stick.
Imagine how it could be if I let you love. just for the fun of it, just to be gay. You made me care for you, then you went away. I ask you, was it fair when I was fancy free to make me fall for you, then make a fool of me, just for the fun of it, just for a thrill? You said goodbye to love, but I never will. You may be sorry when we're far apart, that just for the fun of it, you broke my heart. Just for the fun of it, just for a laugh, you made goodbye to love my heart's epitaph. You may be sorry when we're far apart, that just for the fun of it, you broke my heart.
That's all it is. It's just fun here at Le Show. Hi, I'm Harry Shearer from the Edge of America, from the home of the homeless. But don't you be sleeping in your car, you homeless folks. Get out there in the fresh air with the rest of us. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you may have missed this particular piece of research. This was not included in the big Meet the Press debate on the drug war today between New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, who wants marijuana to be legalized, and former drug czar General Barry McCaffrey, who can't get that drug war out of his head. Quote, new research shows love makes people so stupid they forget facts and lose their concentration. According to psychologists, it has the same effect as drugs. This is your brain on love. Brain scans on volunteers showed the areas responsible for memory and concentration became less active when they were shown pictures of their partners. The scans also showed increased activity in the same brain parts stimulated by drug use. The study was carried out at the University of London. I hope it was a double blind so that scientists didn't get to choose who got to be in love and who got to use drugs. Because that would skew everything, wouldn't it? So this is your brain on love. Ladies and gentlemen, before we go any further, a couple of notes from the Le Show email file. Yes, I do read them. I do weep. A correspondent who worked on exit polling for the local dog trainer in the recent Los Angeles City election, says, more than 50% of the public turned down, no, he says 50%. 50% of the public turned down the chance to participate in exit polls. We're halfway there, ladies and gentlemen. Just, if the other 50% of you will just wise up, and when somebody with a clipboard comes by after you've left the polling place, just say, hey, none of your beeswax, then everything, then the networks can, interview each other all night. 50%. Did they report that? See, if you check, and some people I know have, the regular public opinion poll response rates now are down to like 20%, because everybody hangs up on them because they think it's going to be somebody trying to sell them something at dinner time. I'm also in receipt of this missive from a person who I'm sure would rather be anonymous, who says, apropos of the attack by the Wall Street Journal last week on the New York Post for soft peddling the China downing the spy plane story, possibly because of the interrelationship between the New York Post's owner and a lot of Chinese business interests, here comes an emailer saying, I happen to be a former employee of a certain New York newspaper mentioned on your broadcast, that particular one, not the Wall Street Journal, and I can tell you that we were actually so instructed on those occasions when the management did want a story to be handled in fair and balanced fashion, not that it happened very often, unquote. So when they wanted actually fair and balanced coverage, they'd actually send a memo or make a call. Change of policy. Temporary change of policy, I guess. Anyway, that's the mailbag. It's not really a bag. And, of course, it's not really mail. Actress Michelle Pfeiffer, you ask. Sure. She and her husband, writer, producer. By the way, that pause made me put me in mind of something. You know, do you know why radio performers and radio broadcasters and radio program directors hate dead air? Do you know why it's become just an article of religion in radio that you're never supposed to let that happen? It goes back to, I happen to know this, it goes back to when radio was only AM. And if this gets a little technical, but AM means amplitude modulation. And it means that if there wasn't some kind of noise, some kind of speech or music or something going through the tower, the actual strength of the signal would decrease. So you couldn't let dead air happen because people would think you'd gone off the air in the old days, the really old days. And, you know, so now it's constant yammering because of that, even though, of course, we're on fabulous FM or the Internet, about which more in a moment. Actress Michelle Pfeiffer, anyway, and her husband, writer-producer David E. Kelly, have sold their Pacific Palisades home for $7.5 million. And ladies and gentlemen, I think this may be a first. The real estate column actually outs its sources. Local realtors. Wasn't Michelle, wasn't David. It was local realtors. Not sources. Wow. Talk about memo. Can you imagine the memo that must have gone down to make that happen? The couple purchased a Brentwood home for $15 million in June, but they continue to live on their Palisades property while refurbishing the real estate. Built in the 1940s and designed by architect Paul Williams, you loved him in Phantom of the Paradise, their new home has about 6 bedrooms. About 6 bedrooms. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a newspaper. Do you know what their slogan is, by the way? This is the local dog trainer, which just raised its doubled its price, and then, seeing the market reaction to that, said, well, how about this? How about this special offer? Saturday and Sunday, 2 papers for $1. Saturday's paper usually costs 50 cents. Sunday's paper usually costs $1.50. So it's a half-price sale on the weekend papers. 2 months after they raised, doubled the price. You think there's a problem? Anyway, this is a support. So their slogan is, real news. A real newspaper. Like, they have to assert that now. They're not saying the best, or you'll love it, or great writing. They're just trying to assert that they really are what they'd like you to believe they are. Okay. But here, in a, quote, real newspaper, their new home has about 6 bedrooms. How can that be? How many beds would that add up to then? About 6? In 7,500 square feet, it is on slightly more than 2 acres on one of the most desirable streets in the area. Or about one of the most desirable streets in the area, maybe. The home they just sold is on about 3 acres and has been described as a rustic compound with 3 buildings. Let's be generous, about 3 buildings, including a main house with 4 bedrooms. We know how many bedrooms were in the old house. Let's work on the new one. Can we, team? Can we do that? Rewrite. In 6,000 square feet. Kelly has signed a deal last year that was said to be worth as much as $300 million with Fox Broadcasting and Fox Television. I know the feeling. I don't know the zeros, but I know the feeling. The couple has been married since 1993. Excellent. We know exactly how long they've been married, but we don't know how many bedrooms. And it's the real estate column, so what are you going to do? Oprah Winfrey has been negotiating to buy a 40-plus acre estate in the heart of Montecito for about $50 million. according to those area realtors. The 10 to 15,000 square foot house. Come on. 10 to 15,000 square foot house. That's quite a range, isn't it? Can we narrow that? Can we work in the coming week, team, on narrowing that range down? With ocean and mountain views, has been undergoing major remodeling. Okay, so that's all we can learn from the dog trainer today, ladies and gentlemen. But if you want that kind of, if you want that quality of journalism, it's now half price. And that's good news for those of you who do. I want to try this idea out. You know, we are going in California right now through a major electric power emergency. You know all about this. And, of course, the finger-pointing is proceeding apace. And the Bush administration is using the California situation not to help solve the California situation, but to help drill for oil in Alaska on the wildlife refuge up there. And it's as part of its Screw the Caribou program. Now, here's the deal. NPR reported this week that, and they're not the only ones. This has been in the papers as well. I don't know if it's been in a real newspaper, but it's been in the others, that three power generating companies based in Texas and one, I think, based in North Carolina have profited enormously from, of course, selling electric power to California at suddenly much higher prices than previously. And the question has been, did they jack up the prices? Did they unfairly constrict demand? Did they shut down generating stations so as to reduce the supply, which had the effect of increasing the price? Did they do all that? Did they conspire? And there's a lot of hewing and crying in the state capitol about these power companies in Texas and the one in North Carolina and demonizing them. And meanwhile, California is spending billions. It's basically a big transfer of money from California to these power companies because the state of California is now buying all this electric power at hugely inflated price. All right, here, that's the background. Now, here's my suggestion. State of California is going to try to sell off these bonds to try to pay for this electric power. Here's my question. You know that these companies, these electric power generating companies are making all these profits. That's got to be reflected in two places, in this price of their stock, ultimately, and in the dividends they pay to shareholders. Why doesn't the state of California just buy into those companies? See what I'm saying? If somebody's screwing you, best thing to do is to buy into them and get a piece of your own screwing back. Don't you think? I thought about this apropos of a certain television network at one point. Didn't do it, but it just seems to me the state of California, you know, for all the time because it might waste suing these guys, just buy them. Buy a big chunk of their stock. State of California pension, public employees pension system is one of the biggest stock owners in the country. Buy these power companies. Enjoy the fruits of their screwing us and pass it back to the people. Don't you think? What's wrong with that? Yes, you can tell me. I'll be here. Okay, something for the panic file. Amtrak has acknowledged that one of its ticketing offices has been sharing information about passengers with the Drug Enforcement Administration and then taking a 10% cut of any assets seized from drug couriers. Let's say alleged drug couriers, because you seize the assets before they go to trial, don't you? Yes, you do. Says Debbie Hare, an Amtrak spokeswoman, and let's put a tail on that hair, will we? We provide a limited amount of information about our passengers to the DEA and other agencies as a part of their law enforcement activities. I can't tell you how long it's been going on, but this program exists all across the country, unquote. Reason enough to fly, ladies and gentlemen. A computer link from Amtrak's ticketing terminal to the local DEA office, this is particularly in Albuquerque where they found this, allows agents to peruse passengers' names and itineraries and to see whether they paid in cash or credit. The information determines which passengers will be questioned or have their luggage searched by drug-sniffing dogs. Amtrak and DEA officials defending the practice said the effort has resulted in substantial seizures of drugs and cash. How much cash and how much drugs? We'd like to know. Debbie Hare also said, we don't believe there's a privacy issue here. Well, if I'm getting my advice on privacy issues from the people at Amtrak, I might as well call the ACLU to get train tickets. Don't you think? I bow, ladies and gentlemen, to my own wisdom. You know, last week I admitted I could have been wrong that the declining number of Tom Brokaw pronounced tonights on his nightly newscast didn't seem to be correlated any longer with the ratings of the network news broadcast. It seemed to be correlated with the economy instead. Now, I was wrong last week. I was right the first time. For the first time in more than 2 years, ABC's World News Tonight has beaten NBC Nightly News two straight weeks in the key news demographic of adults 25-54. Last week's 11% margin of victory was World News Tonight's biggest since 1996. Exactly the week that Tom Brokaw hit a new low in the average number of times he said tonight on the NBC Nightly News. So, you know, I shouldn't have lost faith in my own theory, should I? There's good advice for everybody. Don't lose faith in your own theory. Just because it takes time to prove it. Ladies and gentlemen, also for your panic file, this from London, from the London Telegraph. The British Ministry of Defense, they spell it with a C, just to show you how hip they are, has disclosed it is creating lethal genetically modified organisms in a secret program to prepare defenses against a new era of germ warfare. Tests of the potential genetically modified super germs. Gee, I see an animated series. The super germs are being conducted at the headquarters of the government's Chemical and Biological Defense Establishment. The research uses similar genetic engineering techniques to those used to create genetically modified foods sold in supermarkets, unless you stop them. The theoretical threat posed by genetically modified germs has alarmed the British Ministry of Defense. Genetic techniques can make biological weapons more dangerous to humans and less easy to detect or counter. It is already feasible to use genetic engineering to introduce a lethal toxin into a pathogen, an organism that attacks humans, to increase its killing potential. Organisms can also be modified to resist antidotes. In the future, it may be possible to wipe out an army with mutant germs that would then be made benign by a genetic flaw, enabling an enemy force to invade in safety. Ultimately, it may be possible to develop an ethnic destruction germ, that is, an organism that would attack the genes of a particular race. Don't tell Charlie Ward. And finally, at the top of the week's news, a couple of wonderful additions to the George Bush quote file. Going back a couple of weeks from Karen Hughes, the director of communications, just to clarify how on top of it George W. Bush was during the downed plane crisis. He really does seek information, Karen Hughes says of the president. He's very curious, and so he asked a lot of questions. He asked some detailed questions. Several times he asked, do the members of the crew have Bibles? Why don't they have Bibles? Can we get them Bibles? Would they like Bibles? It's Karen Hughes quoting the president, some of the detailed questions he asked about the downed spy plane in China. The questions again, do the members of the crew have Bibles? Why don't they have Bibles? Can we get them Bibles? Would they like Bibles? And more recently, as far as George W. Bush's decision not to attend the homecoming for the 24-member crew of the downed spy plane, George Bush's press secretary, Ari Fleischer, quoted the president as saying, quote, what's important is for everyone to come home without a lot of hoopty-la. Bush believed, spokesman added, that a military reception would be just the right amount of hoopty-la.
The fox sits on the bridge. The crowd is waiting. The chains are locked across my chest. There's no heartbreaking. I've done this show a thousand times. This trick's so easy. they lower me into your waters. There's no escaping. There's a secret passage out of here, but I don't wanna reappear. I just wanna stay with you in here. In Houdini's box, close the lid and tie the knot. Houdini's box. The clock ticks by the bed. I hear you breathing. I should be out the door, but I'm not. Still the scars from my last escape. I nearly drowned beneath the lake. Stayed down too long, dreaming about you. In Houdini's box, close the lid and tie the knot. Houdini's box. Take such good care of you. I brush your hair and tie your shoes. There's nothing in the world I wouldn't do. In Houdini's box. In Houdini's.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Le Show, and it probably did not escape your notice that Mississippi held a referendum this week, and the citizens of Mississippi, I think, voted 56% to keep the Confederate battle flag as part of the Mississippi state flag. Now, a little while back when South Carolina was having this argument, and I think Georgia, I opined on this broadcast that it seemed, the whole debate seemed peculiar because basically, when you strip it right down, the Confederacy was a rebel nation that seceded from this one, and they were beaten in a war, in a civil war, war between the states, however you want it to. They lost. It's the flag of, it's the loser's flag. And usually the losers don't get to put their flag in states or provinces' flags of the country that won. It's just not done. Anyway, I made that point. I think the citizens of Mississippi may have taken that point to heart, because in addition to the referendum keeping the Confederate battle flag in the state flag, they also adopted, I'm proud to say, a new state song.
Mississippi, state of cotton and blue. Losers gotta have a place to call home. Secession, why, it's a source of our pride. 'cause our kinfolk were on the losing side. Yeah, our kinfolk were on the losing side. Oh, the stars and bars will never be forgot. On our state flag, the X marks the spot. It took bravery to fight for slavery. That's how we're inclined, 'cause we're just the losing kind. We're always left behind, 'cause we're just the losing kind. Anglo-Saxon no more. Biloxi, it takes moxie just to go to the store. Throughout the state there is this deep divide, because our kinfolk were on the losing side. Yeah, our kinfolk were on the losing side. Oh, the stars and bars will never be forgot. We're Johnny Reb and not some Hottentot. It took bravery to fight for slavery. You can't be colorblind when you're just the losing kind. This ain't what we designed, but we're just the losing kind. Everybody, oh, we love our flag. It says just who we are. We got no fancy house, we got no fancy car. It takes bravery to forget about slavery. We don't watch, we rewind, 'cause we're just the losing kind. Surrender's what we signed, 'cause we're just the losing kind.
Mississippi State song, The Losing Kind, ladies and gentlemen, for you here on the show. And now, before you have a chance to think about that, let me read the trades for you, will you? Thank you so much. No dead air. Not even any comatose air. This is from Advertising Age. Ad swapping service hits hotel room TVs. Hotel Vision raises the same issues being raised by TiVo. At least some of them. I'll read it for you. While others are still in the trial phase of targeting TV ads to select audiences using technology employed by the likes of TiVo and Replay, one small player is already doing so. Hotel Vision, a national TV media company that distributes cable channels to luxury hotels by satellite, has entered into an advertising deal with United Airlines that allows it to substitute the airline's advertising for normal commercials sold by partnering cable networks. The special overlaid spots run only on hotel room TVs. The system is similar to personal video recorders like TiVo, which use technology that can zap out ads, but which lately is being sold to advertisers as a way to zap into broadcasts instead. Did you get that? Want me to read it again? Technology that can zap out ads, but which lately is being sold to advertisers, a way to zap into broadcasts, zap ads into broadcasts instead. Parenthetically, a listener, who's also a viewer who has Replay TV, said he bought a Replay box last November, which had a freeze frame button. Suddenly it stopped working. The freeze frame function had been replaced by a serve me a commercial function. Press the same button you've always pressed for freeze frame, and now a Coca-Cola commercial. Replay TV downloaded the change one night, along with the updates of TV schedules. No notice was given, no choice was offered. Now back to Ad Age. Jeff Stetton, senior VP at Hotelvision, said the cable networks have agreed to let the ads they sell get zapped out for Hotelvision ads because they get their signal in front of this group of elite individuals, the business travelers, and they share in our revenue. Hotelvision raises the same questions that advertisers have voiced about TiVo and Replay. Does overlaid advertising squeeze out the advertisers who appeared on the original cable programs? The regular advertisers are saying, we bought your network because we believe in it. We believe in the audience, and now I have to go through another hurdle to fully close the loop. You're telling me I'm not getting your full audience with these hotel viewers? Says an advertising executive. Hotelvision's response is that the networks were not in these hotels in the first place. Hotelvision brought them in as an economic service for hotel owners who would otherwise have to purchase their cable channels separately. Eight of the channels we work with have little to no distribution in these hotels, says Mr. Stetton of Hotelvision, so the original advertisers were never really in those rooms. You really weren't in the hotel in the first place. Unquote. Apropos, ladies and gentlemen, that's what happens when I read the trades for you. It reminds me of something else. You may have noticed that streaming audio, your favorite streaming audio stations on the internet, unless they happen to be this one, are off the internet. Have you noticed that? All of the commercial, not all, but a great number of the commercial stations have just suddenly stopped streaming audio on the internet. For the same reason. Because in the last commercial strike, the actors' unions won the right to be paid residuals if radio commercials were streamed on the internet, and the advertisers didn't want to pay the actors, so they told the radio stations, get your damn signal off the internet. So yes, we in public radio, we stand tall now. We're the only one, I think we're the only ones left on the internet streaming our actual audio signal until the commercial stations figure out how to zap out their commercials. So, you know, they don't want you to hear their commercials. They do want you to see their commercials. I can't figure it out. It must have something to do with money. Now, ladies and gentlemen, hundreds of hours of former President Richard Nixon's White House tapes will be available for copying for the first time at the National Archives in College Park, Maryland, under an agreement announced this week by the former president's estate. The archive says researchers can bring their tape recorders and blank tapes to the facility and plug them in for free, starting now. Until now, you could listen to the tapes at the archives and take notes, but you could not make copies of the tapes. Last year, about 300 hours of tapes were put on sale after years of litigation, but a price of $18 for each half-hour cassette, that's going to set you back nine grand for the whole kit and caboodle. So now you can freely copy them on your own machine with your own tapes. It includes 865 hours of chronological releases from February through December of 1971, 154 hours of cabinet discussions, and 265 hours dealing with Nixon's abuses of power and his resignation. And copying of the final three chronological batches of tapes will be permitted as soon as those tapes are open to the public. So the estate, of course, had to be dragged into this. They were sued by historian Stanley Cutler, originally, to make the tapes public, under the original agreement with the archives and Stanley Cutler. Copying would have been prohibited for another 2 years. So 2 years early, we get to make copies of the tapes. The Nixon Library's reaction is muted. And for other reaction, fortunately, we have access to the latest, I guess if these are secretly made, tape of Nixon in heaven.
Where the hell is Haldeman? Guess I shouldn't say that. I know he's not in hell, but...
Just getting some briefing papers.
Hey.
Even up here, there's a line of kink goes.
Yeah. You just have to wonder, how long do you have to be here before you get your own copy machine?
Yep. Hard to figure.
Hmm?
Oh, hard to figure.
Yeah. Suppose they're testing us, you know?
Yep.
Probation type.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fine. That's their right, of course, you know?
Oh, sure.
I mean, you know, they own the place. Mm-hmm. So, look, you know about tapes.
The people can go in there and get copies.
So we authorize that? No, I mean...
We couldn't prevent it. The state fought it for years.
No, I know that, but...
No, I mean, ultimately, I think it was First Amendment or...
Well, sure.
Yeah.
First Amendment, huh?
Yeah.
That's what the Jews always yell in it. First Amendment this, and, you know, before you know it, it's First Amendment that.
Well, you know...
It was a Jewish fellow suing, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Friend of Ellsberg's?
No.
And we know this for a fact.
Best we can tell, they don't all know each other.
Yeah. No. Of course they don't. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, you want to stay around a long time, you have to operate in cells.
Mm. I guess.
So, look, how do we, what do we, how do we deal with this? You know?
Well.
You're just going to let people come in and copy the tapes?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm thinking of you and some of the things you may have said.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of it was just, you know, brainstorming.
Yeah, oh, sure. But, so, you know, that's why you need context.
Yeah.
I mean, some hippie who comes in and just copies off half a cassette, you know, all he wants to do is sock it to us, you know.
Yeah.
Like the kids say, he just wants to yank our bippy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
Not limited to serious usage at all.
Nope.
Scholars and such.
No. Even journalists. Yeah.
This place really has mellow dew.
Yeah. It's principle to think, you know?
Well.
But this setup, this is just
willy-nilly
what have you type
of thing. Well, it's anarchy is what it is.
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it is.
Well.
But, you know, what do you expect? I mean,
wasn't
one of our judges on the case.
No, it wasn't.
So there you are.
Yeah.
Game's over right there. So... We need Hoover in on this operation.
We're talking about Gemstone 2?
Yeah. Well, Mitchell did a little work on it on his computer.
Uh-huh.
He's calling it Gemstone 2.1, but whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Hoover knows about it?
Well, he knows how to pull it off.
Yeah. I'm not sure he's our man.
Huh?
I think we need to use someone who's still alive.
Look. you fly a squadron of low-altitude aircraft over this place in Maryland where they're keeping the tapes. Mm-hmm. You have them hover while powerful electromagnets on board are activated to erase all the tapes. Mm-hmm. You don't do that without a goddamn J. Edgar Hoover running the show.
No, I know.
I mean, you know, that's just, you know.
Dirty Tricks 101.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Still not sure about it.
Whatever. You know, they can't trace it to us. Well, and so what if they do? You know, what are they going to do, impeach us? I mean, we learned that during that stupid little period where I was talking about the idea of suicide. No, you can't impeach a dead person.
Well, I think the point was it wasn't covered by the Constitution.
No, if it's not in, it's out.
Well, I mean,
no, that's just basic rules of strict construction.
No, I know.
You know, you can't do it. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, if we're going to put this plan into operation.
Right, just brainstorming again.
The money is here.
We have the funds?
Yep. 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 No problem.
Was it huge?
Not more.
No. Well, I'm still not sure we want to do this. I mean,
no.
We really do know that we can get magnets powerful enough to erase the tapes from the air.
No, you're right. You're right. Mm. Let's just become the butt of the Johnny Carsons and the Merv Griffins and so forth all over again.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
No, of course not. Why should it?
Well,
they don't need me to kick around anymore. They got this this Bush kid. You know, his old man was as weak as a girl, but at least he didn't screw up our China situation. But this kid...
I hear him, he won't even talk to him.
Oh, no. No, I heard it was he who wouldn't talk to Henry. Yep.
Well, anyway.
Yep, good question.
We want to move on this?
What do you think? Too risky? Because...
I think we have to weigh the value of the operation against... You know, against the convenience of getting our own copy machine.
Yep. Cost-benefit type deal.
That's right.
All right, let's sleep on it.
I'll call Hoover just in case. Yeah. Give him a heads up.
Sure, up to speed.
Yep.
And then we'll see.
Right.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's...
No.
The magnets these days, you know, it's like the drugs. They're a lot stronger than they used to be.
Yep.
Cupid's arrow missed its mark. And I sighed with relief. Don't need love to make my life complete. But how could I know when you walked in? Well, at most I thought that we'd be friends. But your eyes were distracting, and while I couldn't see, love happened to me. Been in love and lost in love, a tragic denouement. No thanks, not for me, I've got to run. But I ran right into you. Faced with love like this, what could I do? Your smile was so breathtaking, and while I couldn't speak, love happened to me. But I ran right into you. Faced with love like this, what could I do? Your smile was so breathtaking, and while I couldn't speak, love happened to me.
Ladies and gentlemen, last item today. From Hong Kong, Star TV, owned by Rupert Murdoch, has come under fire for pulling the plug on 7 of the 8 channels that its customers, about 1,000 of them in Hong Kong, have been receiving 2 years after selling them expensive digital boxes to watch the services that they now can't watch. As of Monday morning, the station will take off the sports channel, the international movie channel, Sky News and Fox News, National Geographic, and several more. Star said the 8-channel service was only a trial, which is being abandoned because Star no longer intended to enter the pay TV market. It said viewers had only paid for the one remaining channel and have received the other 7 as a free bonus for 2 years. You know that company likes to give people stuff for free, don't you? Disgruntled customers said they were never told the service was a trial and believed that when they bought digital receivers costing more than $3,500, they were paying for all 8 channels. No, of course there's no comment. It doesn't need a... You know, it makes its own gravy. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes this edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at this same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe on the USEN 440 cable system in Japan. Around the world through the Armed Forces Network, why don't you? On shortwave at WBCQ, the planet at 7.415 megahertz, and on your computer whenever you want it at www.kcrw.com. And it would be just like getting something for free from those guys if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. And hold your applause, please. We don't need a lot of hoop-de-la. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. Are you napping in that Buick?